You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Welcome, everybody. Welcome back. If you're rejoining us, I'm Maggie Dawn. You're listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, Brewers put up one win in this five-game, four-day series against the Cubs, a 7-0 shutout. Many of our Civic Media stations across our network will be carrying the second game of today a little bit later on. First pitch at 7:10, so check out your local Civic Media affiliate and listen to the Brew Crew. I will be tuning in for sure. I was doing show prep and watching this afternoon. Don't want to miss a minute of it. And again, congrats on the 14-game winning streak. Boy, was that exciting. Such a heartbreaker yesterday. But candidly, I was a little bit glad that they dropped that game to the Reds and not the Cubs. That would have been just too much glee for the Chicago Cubs fans for my liking. In other breaking news today, of course, Donald Trump is in Washington, D.C., meeting with Volodymyr Zelensky and numerous European leaders to discuss a resolution to the Ukraine-Russia 3.5-year-long war. Other national news today includes that the governors of West Virginia, South Carolina, and Ohio announced on Saturday that they will send National Guard troops from their states at President Trump's request. Those bits of litigation continue challenging Donald Trump's deployment of the National Guard in Washington, D.C. And Donald Trump, of course, making some news with respect to his summit this past Friday and, of course, the continuing discussions today with President Zelensky. One of the more shocking asides this morning from the very brief press conference that Donald Trump had alongside President Volodymyr Zelensky included this bit. Check this out. This is cut four, Jacob.
During the war, you can't have elections. So let me just say, 3.5 years from now, so you mean if we happen to be in a war with somebody, no more elections? Oh, that's good.
Very funny.
I mean, when the president of the United States is joking about, A, the United States being at war, that's probably bad. And then when he jokes that, oh, so we're at war and there won't be an election, it just not funny at all. So as a bit of a rhetorical conceit this afternoon, to get our debate started, Matt, I wanted to read off a few things. And folks, if you're just joining us, I've got my great guest, Matt Rothschild, with me this afternoon. We're having a little friendly debate. Matt, a self-styled democratic socialist, lefty progressive, and I, a wee bit more of a centrist Democrat. We're going to be debating these mid-decade gerrymanders that appear to be going on in Texas, as most of the Texas House Democrats have returned, most but not all, as well as California's response legislation introduced today by California Democrats to engage in a mid-decade gerrymander in California. Of course, all of this initiated, this fight started, this race to the bottom initiated by Donald Trump and Republicans. We're going to get there. Matt will be, I think, debating on the side of Democrats shouldn't do this, and I will be arguing that, yes, they absolutely should. You're going to be invited to join us, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. We've got a bit of, is this breaking, Jacob, this cut 11 for the Trump sound on a truce in Ukraine? We'll confirm that, and I'm going to give you that sound if it is indeed breaking news. But let me set up this debate over the mid-decade gerrymanders right now for everybody. I'm going to read a list of things that Donald Trump may or may have not done in the last, say, month. Some of the things that I'm going to say are not true. But it's to paint a rhetorical picture of what I think the stakes are as it relates to mid-decade gerrymandering. Here we go. Donald Trump seizes election data from states under the guise of election integrity. Donald Trump directs his attorney general to seize voting machines. Donald Trump declares war on transparent and fair elections because Vladimir Putin told him to. Donald Trump decides that people and not computers should count 150 million ballots each presidential election cycle. Donald Trump ends mail-in voting. Donald Trump guts voter protection. Donald Trump targets black and brown voters and orchestrates a 50-state effort to deregister black and brown voters. Donald Trump says he'll remain president in 2028 if there's a war and we won't need any elections. Donald Trump enacts personal loyalty oaths for all members of federal law enforcement, the National Guard, the military and intelligence agencies. Donald Trump uses his now personally loyal army to seize election machines and to run elections nationwide. Donald Trump declares himself president for life. Donald Trump says he will lift Putin's criminal warrant issued by the International Criminal Court. He will reinstall Jair Bolsonaro as president in Brazil. And Donald Trump declares himself, Putin, Bolsonaro, Xi Jinping, Viktor Orban, Nicolas Maduro, Mohammed bin Salman, and Viktor Lukashenko, leaders of the universe. Donald Trump then releases Leader of the Universe comic books for the bargain price of $1,000 a pop or $1 million for the first editions. He also issues trading cards, meme coins in the style of Garbage Pail Kids and posts on Truth Social that they are the best trading cards ever. Donald Trump says maybe Kim Jong-un can get on this Leaders of the Universe thing too, but he's got to promise to be really, really, really good. Now, a lot of that is hyperbole and made up. It's a little bit like the War of the Worlds bit, but the vast majority of the stuff that I just read, he has done or is doing right now. So let's get into it, Matt. Many Texas House Democrats returning today, and that mid-decade partisan gerrymander will continue in Texas. They're going to eliminate 5 Democratic House seats. Why should Democrats not respond in kind in California?
Well, this issue is personal to me, Maggie, because for more than 8 years when I was executive director at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, I was out on the hustings saying we got to block gerrymandering in Wisconsin. We got to ban gerrymandering nationwide. It's bad when Democrats do it. It's bad when Republicans do it. So I'm not going to go back on that from a personal level, but also I've listened to your show all the time, Maggie, and you're fond of the expression, as I am, that the end doesn't justify the means, and this is a bad means, even though the end is laudatory to, you know, stop Trump if you can. But the other thing is, even if the Democrats won the House, it's not going to stop Trump. Trump is a dictator. He's acting like a dictator. And he's going to continue to act as a dictator. Yes, if the Democrats got the House, there would be some break on some horrible laws like this big, ugly bill. But a lot of that stuff you just rattled off, he'd be doing anyway. And so we've got to figure out how we can build a mass movement that will ultimately stop Trump. And by the Democrats gerrymandering, I think that's a losing game. One of the reasons Trump has won twice is because people are sick of politics as usual and politicians as usual. They think the whole game is rigged and that all politicians are corrupt. And then for Newsom to be doing that, it's basically confirming that in their minds. So I think we're losing some of the people we need to win by doing this.
Let's ask one of those people right now. CJ from Stoughton, say hello to Matt. And should there be mid-decade gerrymandering or redistricting, CJ? I think this should be an easy no. I mean, I don't think this should be happening at all. I wish we didn't have to have this debate. But CJ, why is this okay, or do you agree that it's not okay?
Well, first off, in Texas states, it's in their constitution that they can do that. But if I could, Maggie, back to Joe Biden's war. You know, Donald Trump, God bless him, this would be the 7th war that he would have ended since taking.
CJ, I just want to jump in here because we have moved on to the mid-decade redistricting. And so I think I heard your point to be that it's legal in Texas. My question to you is, legal or not, why is this okay as a democracy, small d democracy question? This is not being done in bad faith or in good faith. It's being done in bad faith. You there, C-
Once again, you want me to answer the way you want me to answer.
No, I just want you to stay on topic, CJ. We're talking about mid-decade gerrymandering. Do you want to talk about mid-decade gerrymandering with Matt and I, CJ, or do you not want to talk about that?
I never can answer. You talk over me or you cut my...
Okay, so he wants to now complain about the show. I just want you to stay on topic, CJ. Will you please talk about and address, even if it's legal, CJ, why is it a good idea to have mid-decade...
You want to talk at people, Maggie. You don't want to hear my opinion.
Well, that is kind of my job, CJ, just for point of fact. I would like you to talk at people and address my question, legal or not. Why is mid-decade gerrymandering okay? Or do you agree that it is a bad idea?
I believe they should follow the Constitution. That's something your party refuses to do.
Okay. CJ, I don't know what to say. You make these general attacks on Republicans, and I want you, legal or not, that is the framework of the question. Why is this a good, it's never been done before. Why should that be a good idea? Because if you do it in Texas, then they're going to do it in California, and they're going to do it in New York. Why is this not a terrible idea? Hello? Okay. Well, I tried. Again, the rules when you debate with me on the show, CJ, and everybody are... You don't deflect off topic. You don't, frankly, spread disinformation, and you don't disrespect. Attacking me for how I run the show and how we want to have these debates, hopefully in a productive way, is disrespectful, and CJ was deflecting. I would love to talk with a conservative that wants to defend what's happening in Texas. And Matt, just to bring it back to the debate that we're trying to have, the thing that is deeply concerning to me is that I question whether or not we might have a democracy if Democrats don't fight back. That's one. And two, I think that there are ways to do this where the legislation that engages the redistricting specifically time delimits those maps and unwinds them, reverts to the old map if the Republicans do the same in those other states. In other words, to try to put some guardrails around it. And I want to be really clear here. I, like Matt, believe that we should have mandatory independent redistricting committees nationwide. But guess what? The president shouldn't be able to decide that. Folks, we're going to rejoin this debate. Maybe CJ will give it another shot, but you will get your shot. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We're all about real news and great conversation, which means we actually agree on what we're talking about in that conversation. And we're having the debate today on mid-decade redistricting. Do Democrats match fire with fire? The debate continues on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn. You are listening to The Maggie Dawn Show here on the Civic Media Radio Network. We've got a debate going on this afternoon. I'm joined by my friend and guest every Monday, Matt Rothschild. He's the host of the Wisconsin Forward podcast. You can find that wherever you get your pods. And of course, at civicmedia.us. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. We're debating whether or not Democrats should engage in mid-decade redistricting in response to that same effort by Texas Republicans at the direction of Donald Trump, effectively to steal 5 House seats from Democrats, to strip people of their votes. Here's the thing. This is bad for everybody. It's terrible. Political gerrymandering needs to end. Matt and I are in 100% agreement about that. Matt doesn't believe that Democrats should abandon their principles, which have for decades now been to move towards independent, citizen-led redistricting committees. Why do elected officials get to pick their voters and not the other way around is a question I will never understand the justifications for. Just because I can is not a reason, right? That is not a reason. That's just a statement of, yes, it is permissible to do this. It is still terrible for democracy. Yet my fear is that we find ourselves at a moment where democracy itself is in the balance. And if to preserve democracy, to actually have a Congress that is pays some fidelity to the constitutional order of being a check and, yes, a balance on an imperial wannabe tin pot dictator president, so that we are ensured that we do not have vast abuses of our electoral system and a compliant Congress, then yes, my view is that Democrats should engage in mid-decade gerrymandering. I think that there are ways to put very specific guardrails around it, effectively a peace offering in all of these bits of legislation that may attempt to do that, like the one in California. In other words, hey, we'll revert back to the other maps that we adopted right after the 2020 census if Republicans do the same in Republican states. But this feels to me like a very bizarre echo of almost every other political fight between Democrats and Republicans. Democrats want to talk about the values in small-d democracy, and Republicans just want to win. And Matt, I will let you summarize your position, and then we're going to go to the phones. I agree with you. Winning at any cost and the ends justifying the means, typically very bad, but I think we can limit those means as Democrats to be direct and hopefully target where we all want to end up. So guardrails plus a commitment to move to independent redistricting committees. Matt, but your thoughts.
I think it's a bad look, though, and I don't think it's going to do anything to persuade anybody that the Democrats are any better than the Republicans. They're just going to be viewed as, you know, doing the same dirty tricks that Republicans are, and that's part of our problem, that we're not being able to convince the middle. And we're not being able to persuade some of those folks who now have buyer's remorse on Trump. So I also think it's a losing game on a pragmatic level in a different way, in that Republicans have trifectas in 23 states and Democrats have trifectas in 15. That is, they have the governorship and both chambers of the state house, so they can, the Republicans can go back and gerrymander more than the Dems can. So it's a race to the bottom here that I'm not sure even in the short term that Democrats are going to win. And in the long term, I think it's a losing game.
Here's my question about that, Matt. And I just want to throw this out there, then we'll go to the phones. I still remained utterly baffled as to why only Democrats seem to bear the cost of doing things that clearly or arguably aren't quote unquote fair. There's no price that gets paid by Republicans or the MAGA movement ever. So my question to those independent voters that arguably might be swayed by Democrats actually fighting fire with fire is, why won't you hold the other guys accountable? It remains a political quandary. I just don't think this is one of those motivating things for most independent and swing voters. They're going to look to economic issues, basic kitchen table issues. This, I think, flies over the head, and the time frame, again, is so narrow. I've heard the 23 to 15 statistic, but Democratic states tend to be more heavily populated, so isn't the question how do the seat numbers actually sort out? And maybe that math still doesn't math. Terry from the Northwoods, say hi to Matt. What's your thoughts this afternoon?
Yeah, hi, guys. Matt, Maggie.
Hey, Terry.
I heard a theory about that the Texan redistricting could make it too thin, their margins, Republican margins too thin, that they might backfire on them. You know, let's just say 8, it's a Republican district by 8, and they shave it to 3 or 5. So it could, you know, it could flip the Dem.
Yeah, I hear Terry's point. I would just say Wisconsin is a really good example of how exactly they can draw maps to ensure they win elections. The statistics and the programs that are used now, the data analysis is just so precise that while that could happen, I seriously doubt that it would actually backfire. And, oh, by the way, they get 3 of 5 or 4 of 5, that may still be the difference maker in Congress. We're going to continue this debate on the other side. Should Democrats engage in the mid-decade gerrymandering that appears to be going down in California and Texas? Wisconsin, of course, the gerrymandering center of the universe, the battlefield royale. So it matters, and it matters a lot to us here as well. We continue on the other side. I'm Maggie Dawn. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. Join us, 855-752-4842. New callers and conservatives go to the top of the caller list. We'll be back with more in just a moment. Welcome back, everybody. My name is Maggie Dawn, and you are listening to the Civic Media Radio Network. Well, if you haven't heard it, President Vladimir Putin told Donald Trump that mail-in voting was bad and that machines shouldn't count ballots. So Donald Trump, of course, truth posted today that mail-in voting is bad and that we shouldn't use computers to count ballots. We should use humans. Because I know that doing complex math in my head is always more reliable than using a calculator. My goodness, the attacks on America's election integrity by Donald Trump are now legion, well-documented, and indisputable as a matter of fact. Because Donald Trump and Republicans can see the writing on the wall that they are losing long time losing demographically and losing on the issues, they now cheat. All of this stuff is about keeping otherwise validly registered citizens from voting, the voter purges, the seizing of election machines, which, by the way, Attorney General Bill Barr refused to do back in 2020, and I'm certain Attorney General Pam Bondi would do at Donald Trump's direction. Right, like this is all part of this very long pattern. One of the tools in the toolkit used to astounding success by Republicans. Democrats have done it too. And let's be clear, gerrymandering by Democrats is abhorrent and terrible. And most of us spoke up very clearly when New Jersey did it after this last election. But what we've got now is Texas for the first time saying that they're going to engage in mid-decade redistricting with the express purpose of stripping Democratic seats from the House of Representatives that people in Texas elected. It is another way to nullify votes. Democrats in California now threatening to do the same. What should Democrats do? Take the high road, continue to fight gerrymandering, which is terrible. I hate it. And have continued their push for independent redistricting committees so that voters pick their elected officials and not the other way around? Or do Democrats need to fight fire with fire? My special guest, Matt Rothschild, longtime progressive who worked for so much of his life to end gerrymandering, he says we have to take the high road here. I don't. This is not one of the high roads for me. I view this as existential. I view this as creating really, really extraordinary threats to our very election systems, our census systems, and Congress, because it has been captured through gerrymandering, is failing to carry out its constitutional duties. Something has to be done, and Democrats can't simply lay down. This debate playing out on social media as well. Sachin Chaitta, who used to run the Wisconsin Fair Maps Coalition, getting into a respectful debate with my colleague Dan Schaefer on X this afternoon about this very issue. So what are your thoughts? 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Let's see what you all have to say. Cody in Madison says this. I disagree with Matt. They have to do it. Look at the last election in all the states like Georgia, where they challenge people to stop them for voting and the purging of voter rolls. We forget we have same-day voter registration. And most states do not have that same ability to get the voters on the rolls on the same day. What do you say that to that?
Well, I mean, it boils down to how are we going to convince people to break with Trump? And by getting into the gutter and doing what the Republicans are doing, I just don't think, first of all, I think it's wrong, and I believe that, you know, the end doesn't justify the means. Secondly, I think it's a loser because I think the people who are decisive, that is the people who are in the middle, are going to look at this and say, well, yeah, the Democrats are just like the Republicans. They showed us that again by doing this. And we need to convince people that, you know, Democrats stand for something better. We stand for fair elections. We stand for banning gerrymandering, which is incredibly popular across ideological lines. And then we want to make the economic case that people's lives would be a lot better if they followed what Democrats want to do with the economy than what Trump is doing. I do certainly believe we're in an existential crisis here. I've been warning for 10 years that Trump was a fascist. Yeah. And lo and behold, he's a full-blown fascist right now. The question is, how do we stop him? And, I think we need to rally people. And that's why I'm heartened today that the, you know, Archbishop of Kansas City and the bishops of Kansas City all came out with a statement that said, you know, Trump's policy on immigration is abhorrent and against the Bible. We need more faith-based people to speak up on that. I actually just did a podcast for Civic Media on this very subject with four faith-based leaders here in Wisconsin. But we need a mass movement, faith-based, labor-based, all across the country that's going to rise up against Trump and stop Trump. This thing on gerrymandering, I mean, who do we have to thank for this problem, really, if we look at it? It's none other than Chief Justice John Roberts, who is responsible for so much horrible things that have happened. Citizens United, the immunity decision. He wrote the decision that said federal judges can't adjudicate any claims on partisan gerrymandering, that it's beyond their reach. So he's the one who let Texas do this gerrymandering. He's the one who's letting California do this gerrymandering. And it's just another appalling epitaph for Chief Justice Roberts.
Yeah, he the Roberts Court, I agree with you, Matt, will go down and be recorded as one of the worst for basic human rights and the institution of democracy, small d, right? Yeah. I mean, just an absolute train wreck. Some folks on the text lines, Len from Madison, fighting fire with fire can be an effective strategy to reduce the extent of destruction when timely and strategically used. Steve from Milwaukee, the question is, how can they fight back the Texas moves? Take them to court? It'll take too long, and too many red states seem to be talking about doing it too. Tom from Jackson, the problem is that Democrats are seen as weak. Democrats need to step up for themselves and for their country while they still can in these desperate times. That's part of it, Matt. I've always felt that a little bit of the Democratic branding problem was the weak need and mealy-mouthed and not really showing up to fight. I am a fan of fighting Bob La Follette as well. But I think all of this is incredibly fraught territory. But given that we've got a full-blown fascist in the White House and a capitulant Congress and a capitulant Supreme Court, the states and voters are going to have to do this work. I just think voters want some Democrats to show some backbone instead of laying down. And this might be that moment. And make no mistake, we got another point. Ken from Stoughton says, sadly, I think Matt made a valid point. If California ties their gerrymandering and repeal of it to Texas, there will be other states. Oh, no. California ties their repeal of a mid-decade gerrymander to every Republican state undoing and agreeing to sign legislation and a shared timeline for getting that done. All of them. Maybe you build in these states move to independent redistricting committees, and that's a condition of pulling back. In other words, ask for more than where we're at now to get off this ledge. I think some of it has to be done simply by mathing on the seats. But gee whiz, can it get any worse than where we're at right now? Yeah, it would be the complete implosion of the United States. That is pretty much the only end that I would point at to defend these types of means? Let's go to the phones. And folks, join Matt and I in this debate, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Jim from Appleton, you're up next, sir.
Hi, Matt. I've been fighting gerrymandering since the 70s when the Democrats were heavy into it. It was nothing like it is now because now they have computers that can select more precise lines. At this point, until we can get a national no gerrymandering law, I got to agree with gerrymandering to fight the Republicans. Because I know that the Republicans will never go for a no gerrymandering law unless they're under the same kind of pressure the Democrats feel today.
Thanks so much, Jim. If you couldn't hear Jim, what he said was basically, you have to engage in the mid-decade gerrymandering. We got to fight fire with fire, because unless there is some pressure or lever on Republicans, they will continue to do just what Donald Trump wants them to do, which is to cheat. Matt, your thoughts on Jim's comments.
Well, I appreciate Jim's call. I appreciate the fact that he's worked on this gerrymandering issue for a long time. But I just remain convinced that it's not going to help us that much to engage, get in the gutter with the Republicans on the gerrymandering issue, because I think Trump is still going to act like a dictator. And I think what we need to do is convince the vast majority of Americans to resist Trump and resist fascism. And what we need to do is bring those people over, and we're not going to bring them over if we just act as dirty and nasty as the Republicans are in Texas. So, I mean, we're all in agreement about the danger that we face. And I think at some point soon, Donald Trump is going to invoke the Insurrection Act, which he can do alone. And the House of Representatives is going to stop him if it's in Democratic hands. So we need to be aware of all the dangers. And what are we going to do then? And that's kind of the issue I'm focusing on right now.
I hear you, Matt. I hear the pain. I think I still disagree because, again, I think that the Democrats, if they properly position this and talk about it plainly, say, we will de-escalate. You have to agree to do so, too. Otherwise, we're just laying down and taking it. Unilateral disarmament. I mean, I view this very much in the lens of political diplomacy and trying to reach a peace negotiation. By the way, folks, that's the through line between part one on the show and this part. How do you actually get to a negotiated peace? And sometimes, Democrats, you gotta show up with a gun to a gunfight. Let's see if we can get some more callers in here. Mark from Prairie du Sac, thanks for your patience, sir. Go ahead.
No problem. I suggest CG actually read the Constitution, because the Constitution dictates every 10 years we have a census and we do the enumeration then. And 14.2 of the Constitution, you know, Amendment 14.2 of the Constitution says that citizens have the right to vote and elect their representatives. And I would suggest that the voter purges that they're doing are actually a violation of the Constitution under 14.2. You know, and I don't care what the Texas Constitution says. U.S. Constitution supersedes what the Texas Constitution says in this matter. I mean, that it is just discussing those representatives represent the citizens of the state of Texas. Donald Trump is not entitled to those representatives. The citizens of the state of Texas are entitled to their own representation.
Mark makes the point that Trump said he is entitled to 5 seats.
Yes.
Talk about entitlement.
His exact wording, I'm entitled to 5 seats. No, Donnie, you're not. When we come back, we bring it a little closer to home. We talk about Justice Rebecca Bradley's $52,000 in judicial junkets to Hawaii, Alaska, Florida, Colorado, and more. Is this a problem, or is it just Dan Bice muckraking? We discuss on the other side with Matt, my special guest, host of Wisconsin Forward, and me, Maggie Dawn.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Well, Welcome back, everybody. And welcome if you're just joining us. Happy Monday, one and all. Certainly starting off on a good foot with the Brewers and their 7-0 shutout of the Chicago Cubs. The tarps are out at Wrigley, just as I suspected. Those dastardly Cubs should have just played that makeup rain game here in Milwaukee. Do they know we have a dome? Come on, man. But keeping it local with my special guest for this entire show, you can find him here with me each Monday. His name's Matt Rothschild. He hosts the podcast Wisconsin Forward that you can find on the Civic Media Network. On our podcast lineup, we got a ton of fabulous ones. My colleague Earl Ingram, lots of great people with great insights. Check all of that content out at civicmedia.us. But Matt, I wanted to get into this piece that Dan Bice put out from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel reporting that Justice Rebecca Bradley, who remains undecided as to whether or not she's going to run again for the Supreme Court, she was appointed by Scott Walker about, I think, 2015-ish or so. She has received $52,000 in lodging, meals, airfare, and other expenses so she could attend 20 out-of-state conferences and seminars. No other sitting Supreme Court justice comes close. All of them are under a third of that amount. Her conferences were at the Royal Hawaiian Resort in Honolulu, an Alaskan resort, the Henderson Beach Resort in Florida. She was in San Juan, Puerto Rico, Park City, Laguna Beach. She even attended a three-day symposium on the law and economics of marijuana legalization in Denver. Marijuana not legal here in Wisconsin. And all of these conferences where her tab was picked up, this is like the Federalist Society, the George Mason Law and Economics Society. There's just a lot of very specifically Republican-attached groups sponsoring these things. Matt, what was your take on it? I mean, When I was in government and worked in government, I was often asked to speak at various things, and they would pay for my travel and lodging. And some of them were at very nice resorts. But it wasn't an interest group. It wasn't a lobbying organization. It was a professional association, an industry association that was asking me to speak without a political or partisan bend. What do you make of this? And, oh, they didn't pay for all my meals and stuff. It was just the flight and coach and a room at these places. Matt, what was your reaction to the reporting? Nothing to see here, or is this eyebrow raising?
Well, my eyebrows are jumping up. I mean, it smells to high heaven. Thank God for Dan Bice. I love Dan Bice, investigative reporter for the Journal Sentinel for many, many years, who broke this story. But yeah, I'd love a free all expenses trip to Alaska and to Honolulu and to Park City, Utah, and Southern California. Who wouldn't? But it's just in keeping with who Rebecca Bradley is. I mean, she rules for the right wing. She's funded by the right wing. She's a total partisan hack of the right wing. And it's just really embarrassing to her right now. And maybe it'll encourage her not to run again, which would be a blessing.
It would
not
be
to run this time. Yeah,
it would be a blessing. I'm just happy. I will say this, Justice Bradley, if you're listening, thank you for accurately reporting those trips. Unlike your colleagues on the U.S. Supreme Court, who amazingly seem to forget the free flights on private planes and the free lodging at these amazing resorts and the free $1,000 bottles of wine given to them by billionaires with business in front of the Supreme. They forget about, oh, wait, my economic disclosure form is supposed to include gifts from billionaires? Oh, I forgot that. At least she got this part right, Matt. I mean, reporting it is a good thing. We have knowledge about it. I'm not sure this is as big of a deal as Dan Bice's article makes it out to be, but I think it's something that voters should be aware of, right? Like, it is a data point when you consider whether or not Rebecca Bradley approaches cases from an apolitical, nonpartisan perspective. This makes clear if you didn't know it already, because she's been very clear about it, she absolutely doesn't. They're paying her to go on fancy vacations. I mean, isn't that the bottom line here?
Sure is. And there is a great candidate running against her.
Yes.
Appellate Court Judge Chris Taylor, who's terrific. She used to be in the state assembly, and she's just a wonderful person. And she has a much more judicious temperament than Rebecca Bradley, who both in her opinions and in her public statements is just does not have a judicial temperament whatsoever. And even against a fellow conservative on the bench, Brian Hagedorn, Justice Hagedorn, she's just been vilifying him for daring to vote against something that the other three conservative justices, when there was a 4-3 conservative majority on there, wanted him to vote for. So she's not a great justice by any stretch of the imagination. She doesn't have the judicial temperament that's necessary to be on the bench. And this is another mark against her.
Indeed, folks, that is Matt Rothschild. He joins me as a special guest every Monday. We're going to be doing more of these debate-type formats so that you can get in on the action with Matt and I. And candidly, Matt, I think that these kinds of discussions between folks that are on the more left end of the Democratic Party and folks that may be more centrist Dems, these are the kind of discussions that we need to have, because what I know, Matt, is that you and I, in both of these debates, want the same end. When it comes to Ukraine and Russia, we want peace. And when it comes to partisan gerrymandering, we want an end to that fiasco. Return the power to the people where it rightly belongs. We pick our elected officials and not the other way around. Texas, stop cheating. Those are my concluding thoughts. Thanks to you all for being with me. And keep it locked right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. You got Night Light with Pete Schwabba coming up next. Remember, I'll stand up for you. I hope you stand up for me. But it is always better when we stand together. Go Brewers!
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.